welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My first guest today is Dr. Raleigh McAllister, MD, MPH, who is a board-certified family physician specializing in natural, holistic approaches to health and healing. She is also the co-founder of Mimosa Publishing, LLC, publisher of the Mommy MD Guides book series. She is the co-author of the Mommy MD Guides to Pregnancy and Birth and the Mommy MD Guide to Your Baby's First Year. Dr. McAllister's nationally syndicated newspaper column, Your Health, appears in more than 30 newspapers in the United States and Canada and was read by more than 1 million people each week. She has been the featured medical expert on more than 100 radio and television shows and recently appeared on Good Morning America Health and Fox News. She is the former host of Raleigh on Health, a weekly regional health magazine on WJHL News Channel 11, with over 1 million viewers in a 5-state area, and No Bones About It, a weekly radio talk show. Dr. McAllister's healthy eating tips and interviews have been featured in dozens of popular publications, including USA Today, Women's Day, Better Homes and Gardens, Red Book, Family Circle, Parenting Prevention, Men's Health, Women's World, Cosmo, Glamour, Health Magazine, Energy Time, Arthritis Today, and dozens of newspapers. Dr. McAllister receives more than 2 interview requests each week and has authored hundreds of health articles with millions of readers on dozens of health-related websites, including WebMD.com, LifetimeTV.com, iVillage.com, ParentsMagazine.com, SNM.com, ParentingBookmark.com, FamilyResources.com, ChristianMommies.com, WomenOf.com, and BabyCenter.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Raleigh, and I look forward to hearing how you used holistic medicine in your practice. First, how do you feel about holistic medicine?
Oh, I feel very, very fortunate to have been introduced to some of the concepts of holistic medicine after graduating from med school. So, you know, it's not something that we learned a lot about in med school when I was going. I was in medical school in the early 90s, but I was introduced at first to some herbal medicine by a friend of mine, and it just really, you know, after having the privilege of attending medical school and learning all about the anatomy and physiology, that herbal medicine really struck a chord with me, and it made perfect sense. And so I absolutely love it and use it every chance that I get.
Then, Raleigh, how do you incorporate holistic medicine into your practice?
Well, I think, you know, I encourage all of my patients who come to me for help just to start with the basics and use simple things. You know, a lot of people might not be open to some of the more extreme holistic practices, but I find that most people will do simple things like, you know, they can consider meditating or using prayer or visualization to help heal themselves. And, you know, if people are comfortable with that, then we can go on to sometimes using things like massage and touch therapy. Certainly I don't do that, but, you know, I send them to experts, send my patients to experts who are trained to do these kinds of things. And I think my favorite is, you know, using herbs and botanicals and, you know, even starting with simple things like tea. Most people are very familiar with tea and very comfortable using that, and tea is a wonderful herb. And so then we can move on to other things. But, you know, a lot of people are very open to things like I use slippery elm, for instance, for some bowel symptoms. People are open to things like that because it's basically a gruel, And, you know, George Washington and his men ate it at Valley Forge. And mm-hmm. so it's, I think mm-hmm. if people are comfortable using that, then they can advance to things that are a little bit off the beaten track.
Mm-hmm. Great. I think slippery alum was one of the things that they used in some of the cancer treatments.
Slippery alum, I think, is most commonly used for any kind of bowel distress. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a wonderful mucilaginous and absorbent kind of herb, and I can imagine that would have many applications.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Raleigh, what results have you seen using holistic medicine both in your practice and in your family and personal life?
You know, I think probably the most convincing story or testimony that I can tell other people is about my own dad, because people who know me know my father. Mm-hmm. And my father was diagnosed with a pretty terrible condition called pulmonary fibrosis, which is just a scarring of the lungs. And, you know, we're not really sure, at least physicians and a lot of researchers aren't sure why pulmonary fibrosis strikes certain people. It's not necessarily related to smoking, and indeed my dad didn't smoke cigarettes, and it's not necessarily related to heredity, but we think it may be caused by autoimmune problems or possibly chemical exposure, but there's no one cause that we can mm-hmm. really put our fingers on. But it is quite devastating, and in many cases, pulmonary fibrosis advances very rapidly and kills people within 6 months to 2 years. And it's a horrible death because people literally suffocate to death. Their lungs lose their elasticity and their ability to exchange gas, and people suffocate. So my dad was diagnosed with this horrible disease, and rather than go ahead and have surgery, one of the greatest successes of my life, mm-hmm. I was able to talk my dad into having or taking a more holistic route and trying some herbal therapies and tried to get him to, you know, do some relaxation, mm-hmm. improve his diet and so on. And, you know, I think that's probably been 6 or 7 years ago. And my dad, who was supposed to be dead 6 or 7 years ago, mm-hmm. is now enjoying a very healthy and happy life. So, mm-hmm. you know, we've had lots of great successes, but that's probably one of the most profound because it is my father and mm-hmm. and has a lot of meaning for me.
Mm-hmm. Now, does he have to continue, or has he continued on taking some of the herbs and the diet and some of the things you recommended?
He has, and I think that's one of the great things about once people start to incorporate holistic measures into their lives, they see how much better they feel. And so that's been, you know, it's hard to go back after mm-hmm. you've changed mm-hmm. your life and you see how much more energy you have and how much younger you feel and more vibrant and happy and alive. And so, yes, I think he just made these a part of his lifestyle, and he has continued, and I think that's one of the reasons that he continues to improve as opposed to continuing to deteriorate, which is the natural course of that disease.
Mm-hmm. I saw Rosie on Facebook saying that the reason Madonna was able to get around so much and being a 60-some-year-old was because of her holistic life. And I thought, well, that's great.
Who can doubt it? I mean, Madonna did a fine job. She was up and down those stairs and dancing and singing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I thought that, too. I know that Madonna practices a lot of holistic, I think she exercises and meditates mm-hmm. and has an excellent mm-hmm. diet and so on. So I don't doubt that. Sure, mm-hmm. that's the reason. I think she's 53 years old, and I don't think 53 years is old by any means, but I know that it's possible to be in a lot worse shape, so I think she did a fine job.
Right, right. Then, Raleigh, what is the basis of your Mama's MD guides?
Right. The Mommy MD Guide, we're writing our third book now, if you can believe that. We started with the Mommy MD Guide to Pregnancy and Birth, and then we went to Baby's First Year, and we're just finishing up the Toddler Years. And so I think my partner and co-author, Jennifer Bright Reich, and I decided that, you know, all these pregnancy books out there and these parenting books are generally written by one individual.
Mm-hmm.
And we recognize that every, you know, who knows everything?
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many ways or so many things in pregnancy and childhood that you can get right by doing it this way or that way. You know, there's not just one way to be a good parent. And there's so many people, so many experts who fall on one side or the other. For instance, doctors who say circumcision is bad, and then there are other doctors who say circumcision is acceptable. And, you know, there's a lot of different opinions. Mm-hmm. And so what we wanted to do was to get the expert opinions from a lot of different doctors who are also mothers, because they're, you know, we call them expert squared. They're experts in maternity, and they're experts in medicine. Mm-hmm. And so we actually interviewed for these books anywhere from 60 to 70 different mommy MD guides, mm-hmm. and got their opinions and their stories and their tips about a lot of different issues in pregnancy and raising their children. So that was kind of the basis. We thought it would be really, really neat to have lots of expert opinions and lots of stories. And some of the stories are fascinating and heartbreaking and heartwarming. So mm-hmm. it's kind of a fun read. You know, it's lots of great information and also fun to read.
Mm-hmm. So you incorporated then the tips from other doctors who into your guides.
Right.
And how then is your holistic medicine useful in parenting?
Oh, so many ways. And I'm so thrilled to see so many parents kind of coming back to that. You know, we lost that for a generation or two where, you know, doctors kind of took over everything that had to do with health. And now we're seeing some of the healing go back to moms and dads and grandparents, where some of it belongs. You know, you don't have mm-hmm. to rush your child mm-hmm. to the doctor when, you know, he has a low-grade fever or when he has a bellyache. You know, it's better to keep your child at home and to treat him with things that you know work, because anytime we take our kids out to the doctor, you know, you're just as likely mm-hmm. to pick up something as you know, as get healed. Because we used to see so many times when I was in practice early on, mothers bringing their children to the doctor for things that I, you know, your mother and my mother would have treated at home.
Right.
So I'm happy mm-hmm. to see that's kind of shifting again. So things that, you know, we recommend for moms, like probiotics, for instance,
mm-hmm.
a lot of moms are just now learning about probiotics. I think I've seen this in the last 5 years. That kind of went by the wayside, and mm-hmm. so many things can improve with the use of probiotics.
Mm-hmm.
Or we talked about slippery elm for a bellyache, mm-hmm. or, you know, just old home remedies that our parents used to use or grandparents used to use that kind of fell out of favor that are now coming back. And that's really exciting to me to mm-hmm. see the return of these things that might otherwise have been lost.
I think women doctors have always been more aware of probiotics than the male
right.
doctors. And I had two series of antibiotics a few years back, and at the time I didn't know I should be taking probiotics, and my doctor didn't tell me.
Right.
And I ended up with a yeast infection.
Oh,
and
terrible.
I think that's why so many of the women doctors are very aware of the effects
right.
of antibiotics and steroids and some of the other things that
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's true. We usually have had firsthand experience with that. And, you know, that's something that we're starting to see in medicine, too, is that back, you know, maybe 2 decades ago or even a decade ago, doctors were quicker to prescribe antibiotics
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
antibiotics were kind of seen as the cure-all.
Mm-hmm.
But now we know, you know, of course, that the antibiotics kill the probiotics in the body and can cause a lot more problems
mm-hmm.
than, you know, they can help. So
mm-hmm.
sometimes our kids and even adults will end up with things like diarrhea and cramping and, you know, even worse conditions
mm-hmm.
like Clostridium difficile, where people have to be hospitalized and they get dehydrated. And so I think that our doctors are becoming a lot more cautious about just using medicine without thinking through all the consequences, and that's encouraging.
Right, right. You mentioned some of the things that our parents used. You probably haven't heard of this one, but my mother used to give us 3 drops of kerosene,
kerosene.
On a sugar cube every year for worms, for the potential of getting worms, because we were barefooted during the summer months.
Right. Now, I think, you know, we need to pay attention to worms and parasites, but I don't know about the kerosene. That's definitely something I haven't tried.
No.
But I guess it worked, huh?
Well, I'm still here.
You're still worm-free.
Right, yeah.
That's something that parents, you know, in modern times have forgotten. You know, we are in contact with the earth, and we are in contact with cats and dogs and, mm-hmm. and other kinds of animals. They have worms. Mm-hmm. Why would we not have parasites, you know? So that's something that I love about the whole, you know, people who practice holistic medicine or get holistic treatments will consider things like this when it might not be considered in a conventional mm-hmm. doctor's office. You mm-hmm. know, most of us in medical school were not taught that kids in the U.S. might get worms or other kinds of parasites.
Right. Now, it's interesting because I did see parasites and all because when I was at Bellevue, there were a lot of patients that came in from Puerto Rico and some uh-huh. of the other countries. And the interns would get very excited when they would see some of these things on slides, and they would call me in to look at them. And so,
wow.
But you don't think of it in the United States population.
No, but I think, you know, we have our fair share. And, mm-hmm. you know, in childhood, for instance, and in our book, in our Mommy MD Guides, Your Baby's First Year, we talk about pinworms. Those are pretty common in children, and so we're still seeing some of these things. And as a physician, I have to remind myself, you know, to think of that, because it's not something that we see very often.
Right. Now, Riley, can you tell us a little bit more then about your book and where the listeners can locate it? And also about your company?
Okay, I can. The books are the Mommy MD Guide series, mm-hmm. and they can be found on our website, which is mommymdguides.com. And so the books can be bought there. And also on our website, we have probably 120 doctors profiled with their questions and answers about various childhood issues or pregnancy issues. So lots mm-hmm. of good mommy advice there. We also have the daddymdguides.com, mm-hmm. and that's where dads can go for advice that is a little more oriented to the male brain. And we have male writers and bloggers that offer advice, and men physicians that offer tips mm-hmm. on, you know, getting through your wife's pregnancy and celebrating the birth of your child and the toddler years and so on. Mm-hmm. But the books are also on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, and hopefully they're at, you know, your local bookseller. You know, we mm-hmm. try to buy local whenever we can.
mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
so visit your local bookseller and see if they're there.
Mm-hmm. And you have a practice, right?
I do indeed. Yeah. I practice in Lexington, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And before that, I practiced in the Appalachian region of Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
So mostly, I'm sure you didn't pick that up from my accent, but I've been in Tennessee and Kentucky for mm-hmm. most of my practice.
Mm-hmm. And are you available to people outside of that area by phone, or is it just local?
Oh, no. I you know, I'm always happy to help, and you know, get lots of questions through the website, our Mommy MD Guide website,
mm-hmm.
or on my own website, which is rallyonhealth.com. So people can always write me with questions or comments or mm-hmm. concerns at rally@rallyonhealth.com.
Would you spell that out, please?
Yeah, it's rally, R-A-L-L-I-E,
mm-hmm.
at rally, same spelling,
mm-hmm.
on health, and that's just mm-hmm. one word, onheaLTH.com.
Mm-hmm.
So people are always welcome people to share ideas and comments and questions.
Great. Well, I've enjoyed this. I always like to talk with someone that's into holistic medicine.
Thank you, Carl. It's been my pleasure. It's a privilege to talk to you. You've done so many great things, and I really look forward to your book coming out.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
I'm going to get that one in when's it coming out? In June?
Sometime in the summer. I'm not
in
exactly
the summer.
Sure.
Yep. I'll be standing in line. I'm going to send it to you for an autograph, okay?
Good. Great. Good.
Okay.
Thank you again.
Thank you, Carl. Have a great day.
You too. Bye. now for a word about the new spring issue of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com. As usual, this issue is a gourmet delight of wonderful stories, music, and movies, so it is difficult to select a few to mention. I start with interviews with two well-known stars, Linda Gray of Dallas fame, who talks about what moves her and what keeps her moving, and the role of gratitude in her life. Then Anne Margaret talks about her life and love, her 45-year marriage, and her abiding faith in God, and how this has been a part of her life and career. Both are inspiring stories. It was great to see Jay-Z Knight and my interview with her. Jay-Z is the channel of Ramtha and is considered by many to be one of the most charismatic spiritual leaders of the modern age. She also made an appearance in another video in this issue, the interesting story of Jonas Elrod, who woke up one day and could see angels, demons, auras, and ghosts, and what this means for him. As a 38-year lung cancer survivor who used controversial natural products when given 6 months to live, I was immediately drawn to the article on a miracle cure for cancer, in which the author discusses the controversy around the natural product guanabanus and the successful experiences from clinical and research studies. Another area of interest as I get older is living a healthy life, and the article on secrets of a long life from the 94-year-old who keeps busy with poker, bridge, and competing in bowling is an inspiration to me and to all. Last, not to be missed, is a violin performance of Estrellita by Charlie Seam and the song L.A. City sung by Connie Lim. You won't want to miss these and other stories, music, and videos in this issue of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com. My second guest, Dr. Paul Bendheim, is a board-certified neurologist who works full-time as CEO and Chief Medical and Scientific Officer of the company he founded in 2004, Brain Saver, America's Healthy Brain Company. He is also Chairman of the Clinical Advisory Board, Intellect Neuroscience, a public company developing novel biotechnical treatments for Alzheimer's. Previously, among other positions, he was the Max Varen Visiting Professor of Neurobiology, the Weizmann Institute of Science, Israel, Medical Director of Development and Research, neurologist at the Banner Alzheimer's Institute in Phoenix, Arizona, and Executive Vice President and Chief Medical Officer, Mindset Biopharmaceuticals. Dr. Bendheim has held academic appointments in addition to the Weizmann Institute at the University of California Medical Center, San Francisco, and Downstate Medical Center, State University of New York, Brooklyn. He is a member of the American Neurological Association, the American Academy of Neurology, and the Scientific Advisory Board of the Alzheimer's Drug Discovery Foundation, an authority on Alzheimer's disease and other dementias. Dr. Bendheim has lectured around the world and has written numerous scientific articles and abstracts, and is the author of the book, The Brain Training Revolution, A Proven Workout for Healthy Brain Aging, published by Source Books in December 2009 and released in a new trade edition in 2012. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Paul, and I look forward to hearing how we keep our minds alert throughout life. Now, first, can we actually improve our brain function?
Carl, that's the exciting culmination of the last 20 years or so of research mm-hmm. that have turned over the old dogma that we were born with a hardwired brain, and after the age of 40, it started to unravel. And if you were lucky, it unraveled slowly. If you're unlucky, it unraveled quickly. Mm-hmm. We now know that a brain at any age can actually change its shape, can generate new cells, new connections, and one can improve one's brain function, including memory, by making healthy lifestyle choices and exercising your brain like a group of muscles.
Mm-hmm. What about our memory? Can we improve that too?
Yes. Memory is what people worry about, and people often ask me, geez, I forgot where I left my keys.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean I'm getting Alzheimer's disease? Absolutely not. The brain, like any other organ, suffers wear and tear with age. And so those occasional moments when we can't remember somebody's name or can't remember where we left our keys, it's part of normal aging.
Mm-hmm.
With attention to memory, with reduction of stress, with actual exercises for the brain, one can improve one's memory, one's ability to process new information, make new memories, and recall those memories when appropriate. And the best advice I think I can offer your listeners is that they get out in the real world and do real life activities
mm-hmm.
that force them to work up a few beads of brain sweat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There are countless programs now offered on the internet, in books, on specific memory exercises. And like a physical exercise that may strengthen your arm muscles, they certainly are beneficial. But if you want to be a better tennis player, you can't just strengthen your arm. You have to go out and hit tennis balls.
Mm-hmm.
So doing simple memory exercises certainly improves that circuitry in the brain. But getting out and actually working on a list of things that you want to remember when you go to the grocery store rather than simply writing them down
mm-hmm.
is a great memory exercise.
Mm-hmm. What are some simple mind exercises that we can do?
Well, they're endless. I mean, if you enjoy crossword puzzles, Sudoku, again, the advice I think is that is most useful and most productive for people are to do things in the real world that make them think and make them remember.
Mm-hmm.
So art museums, book clubs, planning a trip to Italy, and even if you can't take the trip to Italy, pretend that you're taking it. Treat yourself to a good meal with a glass of red wine at the end. There are a number of studies showing that people that remain socially engaged, that do intellectually challenging things,
mm-hmm.
that do modest physical exercise, that eat a brain-healthy diet, they have better memory function, better overall cognitive function, and a very substantially reduced risk of getting Alzheimer's disease, which is, as you know, the leading cause mm-hmm. of dementia.
Mm-hmm. I know my mother, when I was older, she used to watch certain programs that required the mind, like Jeopardy. And the other thing she did was crossword puzzles. Every day she did them. And so her vocabulary was much better than mine because she had done these puzzles every day. So her mind was alert up until she died at 84.
But, yes, and Carl, you've just answered in a very profound way your own question. Your mother's memory improved. She had memory of a much larger vocabulary
mm-hmm.
at
right.
the age of 80 than she did at the age of 70 because
mm-hmm.
she was using it. And again, it's doing exercises that impact your life, getting out there and doing things that are engaging and fun
mm-hmm.
and stimulating.
Mm-hmm. Now, will these exercises help people that have Alzheimer's?
That's a good question, and the research answer to that is not yet in.
Yeah.
We know that the lifestyle components that I mentioned earlier,
mm-hmm.
brain healthy nutrition, physical exercise, mental exercise, stress reduction, socialization, those individually and collectively reduce your risk of Alzheimer's disease.
Mm-hmm.
There's some preliminary evidence now that even in the early stages of Alzheimer's, so-called mild cognitive impairment or early to moderate Alzheimer's disease, physical exercise, social engagement, and mindful exercises may in fact slow the progression of Alzheimer's disease.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think we're at least several years away from being able to recommend that or say that there's medical evidence that that is actually a treatment for Alzheimer's disease. Mm-hmm. I think it's an important distinction. Mm-hmm. My life's work now is promoting healthy brain aging.
Mm-hmm.
So I've written my book and started my company to provide the worried well, as I call them, boomers and healthy seniors who are worried about getting Alzheimer's disease, who are worried about memory loss, that they can build a very significant barrier against that by making lifestyle choices that protect the brain.
Mm-hmm. The reason I was interested in Alzheimer's is because a friend who was on our city council recently had breast cancer, and she had surgery, and the anesthesia brought on Alzheimer's, and the doctor told her that it didn't cause it, but that it accelerated it, and that she could have gone for a long time without having it come on, but the anesthesia brought it on. And so I was interested to see if there were things she could do to help her memory. That was why I asked the question.
Yeah. Though certainly, as long as she's able to pay attention, focus her concentration on mindful tasks, on fun and engaging brain exercises,
mm-hmm.
there's no downside to that.
Mm-hmm.
What I can't say categorically is that research has demonstrated that it will actually slow the progression mm-hmm. of Alzheimer's, which is, as you know, a progressive disorder.
Right, right, yeah. Then, Paul, what is the World Brain Gym?
The World Brain Gym, Carl, is a term that I and a colleague, Dr. Richard Samuels, came up with to emphasize that all the activities that your brain needs to remain strong and get stronger with age are in the real world. As entertaining and as fun are computer-based games and
mm-hmm.
DVDs, getting out in the real world with your friends and family and doing mind-stimulating activities, some of which I mentioned before, museums, mm-hmm. concerts, book clubs, playing chess, going to a stimulating movie, all of those things stimulate your brain and help build brain reserve, that insurance policy against Alzheimer's and other dementias.
Mm-hmm.
And so the World Brain Gym is that place that has countless stimulating activities to keep your brain engaged and keep it sharp and strong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then, Paul, is there such a thing as brain food?
Well, I would say absolutely there is. We now know that a brain-healthy diet, brain-healthy nutrition, protects your brain not only against Alzheimer's disease, but also against stroke-related dementia. And what is a brain-healthy diet? What are brain-healthy foods? Most of your listeners are familiar with the Mediterranean diet.
Mm-hmm.
That's a diet that's rich in fresh fruits and vegetables, whole grains, nuts, seeds, more fish than fatty red meats, healthy oils like olive oil and others, and even a glass of red wine or two a day if there are no medical
mm-hmm.
or religious reasons not to drink. The Mediterranean diet has been shown now in a large number of studies, both from this country and abroad, to protect the brain to a significant extent against Alzheimer's disease. And it's even been shown to slow the conversion of the earliest stage of oncoming dementia, so-called mild cognitive impairment, to
mm-hmm.
full-blown dementia.
Mm-hmm.
So those are brain foods, and you know, as a society, we need to go back to that type of
right.
less processed diet
right.
that has proven itself over the millions of years of human evolution.
Mm-hmm. Paul, is there anything more you want to say about physical exercise? You did mention it, but
yeah, I mean, I think if one had to choose all the activities that I've mentioned that are good for the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And one was forced to choose only one, one should choose to start with physical exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only is it great for your brain, as I'm sure everybody listening knows, it's been shown in study after study to be protective against heart disease, stroke, some types of cancers, and some other
mm-hmm.
age-associated conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So 30 minutes of modest physical exercise, and by that I mean just walking at a pace that makes it a little bit more difficult to carry on a normal conversation.
Mm-hmm.
If you achieve that, you're providing your brain with more oxygen, and in response to that, the brain secretes certain factors that enhance the growth of new cells and new connections.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not able to walk because of an arthritic condition or another orthopedic condition, simply doing water aerobics, you get the equivalent benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So physical exercise, it's been known since the time of the ancient Greeks and Romans mm-hmm. to be wonderful medicine for the brain and body.
Right. I feel so much better when I walk, and I walk 5 days a week. I don't on the weekends, but I do 5 days. But if the weather gets real cold, I don't always go, but I feel so much better when I walk early in the morning.
Yeah, there are a lot of studies that show that exercise is probably the most potent antidepressant known,
mm-hmm.
Certainly as good as any of the medications that are currently prescribed.
And I never get depressed. I can't remember when I got depressed.
And I would add that there are some very excellent studies from the University of Illinois and other places that show that exercise looks to be the most potent catalyst, the most potent generator of new brain cells.
Mm.
And I'm not talking about running marathons. I'm mm-hmm. talking about walking mm-hmm. for 30 minutes, three or more times a week. And now the recommendations of the American Heart Association, and just recently, I believe the American Academy of Neurology, is for people to walk a total of 150 minutes a week. That's 30 minutes five times a day.
Mm-hmm. Then, Paul, will you tell us about your book and any services or products you have and how the listeners can locate these?
Yes, well, I think I'll just limit it to my book right now, Carl.
Okay.
I wrote a book called The Brain Training Revolution, and the subtitle is A Proven Workout for Healthy Brain Aging. And it's an introduction to all of this exciting science that has demonstrated that lifestyle can, I don't often use the word prevent, because prevent is an all or nothing, but
mm-hmm.
a brain-healthy lifestyle can dramatically reduce one's risk of Alzheimer's disease and stroke-related dementia. And in the book, I provide a step-by-step plan for people that aren't exercising physically, a step-by-step plan for people who want to start doing more and more brain exercises, a step-by-step plan on how to start a brain-healthy nutritional plan, advice on stress reduction, advice on healthy night's sleep, and I talk about the importance of staying socially engaged for your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And the book, the paperback, or as they call it, trade edition, just was released earlier this month,
oh.
and it should be available wherever books are sold. Mm-hmm. Certainly I know it's on Amazon, and Barnes & Noble carries it.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
The company Brain Savers that I started, really our main product is an instructor-led class
mm-hmm.
that meets three times a week, and the instructors take people through all those aspects of a brain-healthy lifestyle in combination. And it's met with great success, but we're still at an early stage in the company.
And this is in Phoenix?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And do you have plans to expand this to other areas
of
the country?
We definitely do. I think I believe that brain health is going to grow exponentially as an industry, and mm-hmm. Brain Savers would like to be among the leaders providing evidence-based, science-based products and programs to help people
mm-hmm.
Age well, both in brain and body, and protect their most valuable organ, which is their brain.
Mm-hmm.
The fear of Alzheimer's disease is, I'm quite sure many of your listeners are aware of, is now in every survey of aging people mm-hmm. in the top two or three fears of people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's certainly understandable if you've experienced it in a mm-hmm. family member or friend.
Mm-hmm. Now, would you give us your website?
Sure. It's a brainsavers.com.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, I thank you very much, Paul. This has been very interesting and something that I know I can use. I've learned something that I can add to my repertoire, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I think you're the epitome, Carl, of healthy aging. You stay active and you're pushing your own limits in your activities. And that's really the prescription. My prescription for healthy brain aging is doing things that keep you active, engaged, and challenged.
Great. Thank you very much.
It's been my pleasure, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
Great. Thank you. My last guest, Dr. Tom Potis, also known as the Down-to-Earth Doctor, has been a lifelong Christian and a holistic family doctor for 25 years. He is an author, speaker, and blogger on holistic living, and was a winner of the Chiropractor of the Year Award and has certifications in nutrition, counseling, and wellness. He is the author of the new book, Whole Health Healing, the budget-friendly natural wellness Bible for all ages. His extensive world travels to remote places, sometimes on volunteer medical missions, adds to his unique perspective and his philosophy. His goal with his book and the presentations is to improve people's lives and save them money by empowering them to make wiser healthcare decisions. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. Tom, and I look forward to hearing what you have learned as a practitioner over the past 25 years. First, why are you known as the Down-to-Earth Doctor?
That's an interesting name, isn't it, Carl?
Yes, it is.
That's my brand name, and that was really given to me by some of my patients. My last name is Potisk, P-O-T-I-S-K, and that's sometimes very hard for people to pronounce. And some of my patients would come into the office, and there were multiple of us doctors in that office, and they'd come to the front desk, and sometimes they'd say, "Can I see let me see that down-to-earth doctor." And when we asked these patients why they call me that, they said, "Well, we've gotten to know that he lives very holistically. For example, I live on a little farm. I grow a lot of my own vegetables, a few animals. I love the outdoors. So I live pretty holistically. But also, they tell me I have a knack for very simplistic explanations of complex problems. So I hope I can do some of that for you today."
Mm-hmm. Great. Your book, Dr. Tom, is called Whole Health Healing. What is that?
Whole Health Healing is pretty much the solution to what most people are looking for to gaining and maintaining optimal health. It encompasses the fact that we human beings are more than just physical. We're not just a slab of meat. We are spiritual, emotional, physical also, and also mental. So we're all of that. And when people want optimum health, they really have to address all of that. So that's where the wholeness comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mainly what I teach people, is how to incorporate all of that in very simplistic ways so that they can have optimum health and wellness.
Mm-hmm. Now, I tend to add three more things in my concept of holism. I add relationships, politics, and the environment.
Oh, those are good. I like it.
They also influence our health. And so I think that it's good to be involved in politics. And as I say, relationships have been proven to be very important. And, of course, the environment as a public health person has a very important role in how we stay healthy or not.
Yeah, very good. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you claim to know the missing link in healthcare. What is it and why?
The missing link, yes, that little phrase gets a lot of attention, especially when I'm speaking to the media, and I do a lot of that throughout the country. Everybody wants to know what the missing link is, and I'm not talking about the evolutionary missing link, you know, like the ancestor of human beings. No, what I'm talking about is what's missing in our American healthcare system more than anything else that I think is keeping people from being as optimally healthy as they can be. The one specific thing, from my observations at least, that's missing. You want to know what that is?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it's the absence of a free-flowing nervous system. I think conventional medicine particularly, which dominates our healthcare system, they miss that nearly completely. Very rarely does a medical doctor even consider a person's nervous system and the free-flowing nerve impulses that should be there for optimum health. They just kind of discount it and take it for granted. But the nervous system really controls and coordinates all of our body functions in one way or another, directly or indirectly, and it's often overlooked and forgotten, but that's what we chiropractors focus on.
Mm-hmm. Actually, then how do you implement that in practice?
Mainly, we find that those nerve impulse interferences come from spinal misalignments, and we technically call that subluxation.
Mm-hmm.
Subluxation means one or more of the vertebrae in the spine is misplaced or disturbed in its normal position, and that's causing irritation on the very delicate nerve tissues that are closely related to that. In fact, there's a nerve that comes out between each vertebrae. And through trauma, stress, and even toxins in the environment, like you mentioned a few moments ago, that leads to these misalignments of the spine, interruption of the nerve flow, and then dysfunction of the body.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Interesting. Dr. Tom, you say that people are in grave danger if they rely strictly on conventional medical care. And why is that?
Well, it's from my observation over 25 years, and probably even longer, because I started having an interest in healthcare, even in my younger days when I was a teenager. I became a chiropractor when I was 22. So it's been quite a few years of observing the healthcare system, especially here in America. And it's been my observation that many things that conventional medical care offers can be a miracle, and we need them. They can be lifesavers. They can give us relief when there's no other choice or when we need it quickly. They can save us in an emergency or a crisis situation. But we find many times that those things are not necessary, especially when it comes to general health and wellness and maintaining health. And unfortunately, the conventional medical system dominates the healthcare system in America, so people tend to either are led to or choose pharmaceuticals, surgeries, or medical interventions as a first choice for their health. Yet, in non-emergency situations, it should be the last choice. There's lots of wonderful natural things a person can do on their own to get better and to heal. I like to say this little sentence that the only thing man ever really cured is a ham.
Mm-hmm.
Real health and healing comes from within. We're all gifted with our own little doctor inside.
Right, right. Well, you know, all of the things that traditional medicine have, they may have benefits, but they also are harmful. It's, for example, even though antibiotics were a tremendous lifesaver, there are bad effects to antibiotics, and one of them is yeast infections, which is common in people that take antibiotics. But so many of them have side effects that are dangerous, even though they may have some things that are helpful. And when I had lung cancer, I used all natural things. And I believe that is why I'm alive 36 years later, when I've been given 6 months to live by conventional medicine. So I don't always agree with conventional medicine either.
Yeah, that's okay. That's a wonderful story about your recovery, and I've seen and heard that so many times, you know, using holistic natural methods to get over even chronic serious illnesses. And I like to say, too, that many times the risks of pharmaceuticals outweigh the benefits.
Right.
So people have to be educated and learn about these things so that they can make wiser healthcare decisions. And that's really what my book is all about, to guide people so that they can make better decisions on their own.
Well, a simple example is I had an anal fissure, and my doctor gave me a prescription for nitroglycerin ointment, which to me is very dangerous. Well, I threw the prescription away, and I used vitamin E. I took the vegetarian capsules, and I squeezed out the vitamin E, and I used that, and I did sitz baths, and I started taking prunes as a stool softener because the doctor had suggested Ducalax, and it took a couple months, but everything was all healed up naturally.
Excellent. That's another great example.
So I'm a big believer in non-invasive, natural solutions to most every problem. Then, Dr. Tom, the expense of health care is a hot topic today. You say that people can save money. How can they do this?
Yeah, the expense of health care, that's a hot topic these days. And I just saw some statistics that our nation's health care costs overall total nearly 20% of our gross domestic product. That's nearly twice as much as any other country in the world. So when doctors say this won't hurt one bit, I say, ouch, that's pretty painful and awfully hard on a family's budget. So that's why the subtitle of my book, The Budget-Friendly Natural Wellness Bible for All Ages, the things in my book can save a family money on their health care expenses. And I think the ultimate solution to our nation's crisis on this health care problem is for people to take more personal responsibility for their own health and wellness. That's really where the solution is going to come from. And until the politicians embrace that, I think the problem is just going to go on and on. They're just going to keep shifting money. And I think we're still pretty far away from them grasping that concept.
Right, right. Dr. Tom, do you use primarily natural things with your clients? And if so, how well do they accept this?
When people come into my office, we always start by taking a thorough history and an examination. Because one of the nice things in chiropractic, in the chiropractic field, is we chiropractors are all trained very thoroughly to recognize cases that we may not be able to help or may need help that we can't offer, particularly medical care, crises, or emergencies. So we want to make sure we are starting out treating people that show signs that we can really help them. So that's the first thing we do. I almost always check the spine of every client that comes into my office for the same reasons that I mentioned a little bit earlier, that the missing link in healthcare is a free-flowing nervous system that's overlooked by conventional medicine nearly entirely. They just don't give any attention to that, yet it is so very important for a person's health and healing to have a free-flowing nervous system. So we check their spine with a number of instruments or x-rays or our own hands, the sense of touch, and we look for those spinal misalignments. If we find them and it correlates to the complaint that the patient has, then we put them on a series of chiropractic adjustments. In some people, it may be just a few. Others, it may take several weeks of a chiropractic course of treatments to alleviate their problem and allow their body to heal itself by removing that nerve interference. But I also spend some time asking them about their lifestyles, what they're eating, how they're eating, if they're physically active and what they're doing, their posture, what they're doing for stress management, things like that. So we do encompass a very holistic approach, but our main focus, as I think it is for most chiropractors, is to free that nervous system so that that inner doctor can do its job. That's the communication system of the body, the nervous system.
Then, Dr. Tom, would you tell us where our listeners can get your book and find out about your services and how to reach you?
Yes, I'd be happy to. I have a wonderful website with a lot of very, very excellent information for families and for people to learn more about holistic healing. It's called wholehealthhealing.com, wholehealthhealing.com. And on that site, there's not only a lot of blog articles about various health issues and topics, but there's some free special reports there that people can get for free. There's some things there like a recipe for what I call the healing salad, which is a delicious and nutritious salad recipe that people can start using right away. There's also an article there where people can learn how to check themselves and their own family members for spinal misalignments. There's some general tests that people can do right in their own homes. And there's also an article called The Five Most Dangerous Exercises That People Should Avoid. So those free reports are there, and there's also an opportunity there to order my book. And when people order my book off my website, it includes a couple of free bonuses, like a workbook and study guide, a free bonus, and also my healing cookbook, which is in the works. I've already got about 40 delicious and easy-to-produce recipes.
Great. Good. Well, I thank you very much, Dr. Tom. This has been interesting, and it's good to talk with someone that uses a holistic, natural approach to health concerns. So I thank you.
Thank you very much, Carl. It's been fun, and I want to honor and thank you also for what you're doing. We need more people spreading the word about this, and you're certainly one who's doing it, so I hope you'll keep it up.
Thank you very much. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. I hope you have learned something from these interviews. I invite you to my website, www.holistichealthshow.com, where you can listen to all of the former radio programs. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a great week.